I'll tell you what. I would look on the app on my phone, and it would show that it is snowing in my area, and there wasn't a drop of snow. So I don't know, but we made it. You know, this past week, we started talking about the fact that we have tapes in our mind, and they play over and over and over again, endless loop tapes. And we've talked about turning the page, and we talked about this being the chapter, a brand new chapter, chapter 2025. And we're doing that in an effort to get us to think beyond what's happened in the past and make necessary changes and decisions to move forward in the new things that God has for us. If you're tired of the same old story, turn some pages. We're reminded of what God said to Isaiah in Isaiah 43:19. For I, this is God speaking, I am about to do something new. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. And there's something so important for us to remember. When our God wants to do something new in or for us, He wants us to be ready for the new. Matthew 9:17 says, nor is new wine put into old wineskins that have lost their elasticity. Otherwise, the wineskins would burst and the fermenting wine spills and the wineskins are ruined. But new wine is put into fresh wineskins, so both are preserved. We must be ready. We must ready ourselves for the new things that God has for us. Last week was lesson one for the new year. First things first, seek God's kingdom, Matthew 6:33. But first and most importantly, seek, aim at, strive after His kingdom and His righteousness. His way of doing and being right. The attitude and the character of God. And all these things will be given to you also. See, when we keep God and His ways at our top priority, we really don't have to be concerned about anything. If you are tired of the same old story, turn some pages, put God first. Today is lesson two for the new year, letting go of the past. I know it's much easier to say than it is to do, but listen to what Apostle Paul tells us in Philippians 3, starting verse 12. I'm not saying that I have this all together, that I have it made, but I'm well on my way, reaching out for Christ who has so wondrously reached out for me. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all this, but I've got my eye on the goal where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. If you're tired of the same old story, turn some pages, let go of the past. In other words, Paul is telling us that he's not going to let his past mistakes or what has been done to him in the past define him. And neither should we. So why is forgetting the past so important? Well, the enemy wants us to think that we are what we've been through with no hope for anything to change. The enemy wants us to forget that about the complete forgiveness and restoration of God. The enemy wants us to get stuck in the unfairness of life. The enemy wants us to totally focus on the past. All these are diametrically opposite from God's ways. We are who God says we are. God is all about forgiveness and restoration. God carries us through the unfairness of life. And God wants us stuck on Him. Listen, I'm not saying that we can't learn from the past. What I am saying is things in the past shouldn't define us. We would be stupid not to learn from our past. Listen to the verse before what we've just read about God doing something new to Isaiah. Isaiah 43:18. Do not remember the former things or ponder the things of the past. Why would God even say that? Because He knows we all have a tendency to allow the past to form us. to allow the past to direct our path, to allow the past to plot our course. So therefore, if we allow the past to form us, if we allow the past to direct us, if we allow the past to plot our course, we're going to be steered away from what God says is available to and for us. If the enemy can get us to look at our past and to define us, then he's totally convinced us of these things, that God's word is not relevant, that God's word is not powerful, that God's word is not true, that God's word is not for us. If the enemy can get us to allow our past to define us, we're really saying that this whole thing that we brag about every Sunday is of no consequence. Now, here is a catchy phrase. Maybe you've heard it. When the enemy reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. If you want to look at the end of the book, he loses. When he reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. Sometimes the past that we need to reject and forget are things that we've done wrong, thus the need for God's forgiveness. Sometimes the past that we need to reject and forget are things that others have done to us, thus our need to forgive others. Sometimes the past that we need to reject and forget is just the hand that we've been dealt, thus the need to fully entrust in God's plan. In my late teens, I got a job with a pretty exciting stereo company. It was progressive, it was innovative, and it sold high-end electronics. In fact, it was before computers were even introduced to the consumer. And it was my first real training in the running of a small business, and I loved it. I started from the very bottom rung and worked my way up to being a key employee, working directly with the owner and having lots of responsibility. I learned so much from him. Valuable training for the future. Valuable training in how to handle certain situations. Valuable training in how to plan ahead. But there came a time in which it was apparent that I needed to leave that place. The environment had become so toxic, and my employer grew to be extremely consuming and controlling. See, I was working 6 days a week from 9 in the morning to 9 at night with very few breaks. But within a few days of my resignation, my employer came back to my house and tried to convince me to come back and work for him. But I stood strong, refusing it, and made it clear to him that I was finished. I was washing my hands of the entire situation. He then reached his hand out to me to shake my hand goodbye. And he said these words, "You will regret this. You will never make anything of your life. Trust me, I can't wait to see what a mess you will make of your life." Now, when you first started hearing it, you thought it was going to be funny, didn't you? Those kind of words from someone in authority in your life can wreck you. Needless to say, those words haunted me initially. You see, this was a man that I had learned so much from, and I had respected and admired at one point, and his words impacted me deeply. And initially I thought, well, maybe he's right. But then there came a time in which I had to take a stand and reject those words that were spoken over me from my past. Had I been perfect in every situation? No. Did I deserve what I got? No. Did God use it for my benefit? Yes. See, the good news was that I was able to reject those piercing words and not let them form me going forward. In fact, the very next job I got, within a year of getting that job as just a salesman, I was promoted to a role leading the biggest department in the store and one of the youngest junior executives in the whole corporation. So I was able to reject those words and saw the opposite come into my life. What if I had allowed this man's words to form me? What if I had allowed this man's words to fashion me? What if I had allowed those words to direct my life? What if I had allowed those words to dictate my potential? You see, the enemy wants you to adopt and embrace everything that he says and does to form you. The enemy wants you to adopt and embrace everything other people say to you and what they do to you to form you. See, Paul instructs us as to what we should allow to influence us in Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed by this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes, so that you may prove for yourself what the will of God is, which is good and acceptable and perfect in his plan and purpose for you. From last week, we reminded you that the enemy's plans and purposes are no good. No matter how alluring they are, no matter how beautiful he's packaged them, no matter what he promises, what promises he makes. John 10:10, the first part of that verse, a thief is only there to kill, steal, and destroy. See, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. The quicker we understand that the enemy has nothing good for us, the better off we are and able to accept what God says. There's no other way to put it. The devil, the thief, is our enemy, and his only purpose is to tear us down. No matter how nice and pretty he packages it, he's the great counterfeiter. He copies the original with a replacement with his spin on it. Susan and I watched a movie some years ago entitled Catch Me If You Can. Maybe you saw that movie. It's a biological crime drama about the life of a man who claims that prior to his 19th birthday, he successfully performed cons worth millions of dollars by posing as a pilot, as a doctor, and as a prosecutor. He created counterfeit currency and identities so good it fooled most people. But as good as he was, it was still not the original. It was only counterfeit. The enemy uses the counterfeit to confuse, confound, direct, and form us into thinking that his ways are right, that his words are true, but the enemy's words are only counterfeit. God's words are the only true words. Remember our origin in Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you and approved of you as my chosen instrument. And before you were born, I consecrated you to myself as my own. I have appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Now, when we read that in context, it comes to Jeremiah. But God is telling that to every one of his people. The Message version says it this way: before I shaped you in the womb, I knew all about you. Before you saw the light of day, I had holy plans for you. A prophet to the nations, that's what I had in mind for you. See, that just isn't for Jeremiah. It's everyone that God created. Every single person is made in the image of God and has a purpose, this purpose, before they take their first breath. No exception. Listen, I don't know what it is in your past that haunts you, or what's formed you, or what's directed you, but I do know this in Psalms 127:1, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. Unless God is the one that you give the authority to form and direct you, unless he's the one, you're headed for disaster by the great pretender, the great counterfeiter. Romans 12:2 out of the Message version reads it this way. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted in your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. We need to be formed by God. We need to be formed by His Word. We don't need to pay attention to or yield to what others do to us or what others say to us or what others call us or whatever stinging words they may have for you. Isaiah 64:8 reminds us, "Yet, O Lord, You are our Father, we are the clay, and You are our potter. And we are the clay, and You are our potter. We are all the work of Your hand." Don't let the enemy form or fashion you based on your past. What do you think would have happened in my life if I had allowed the words of my former employer to truly form and fashion me? A disaster waiting to happen. So the challenge is this: look at your life. What or who are you allowing to form or fashion you? What or who is directing your life? What or who is your GPS? See, if it's anything but God, then I challenge you to turn some pages and let go of your past. It'll be the best change that you've ever made. And you may be asking yourself, "Oh, how can I say that? How do I know that?" Well, the reviews that we read here are clear. Peter would have gotten stuck as a denier of Jesus, but Jesus wanted to use him to feed his sheep. Jesus didn't see Peter as a denier. Peter could have owned that, and he probably did for a bit, but he could have owned it. And then Jesus said, "Listen, Peter," my paraphrase, "you're not a denier anymore. You're going to be one that feeds my sheep." And as Jesus said that to him, there was an empowering and an anointing come upon Peter. "Feed my sheep." And maybe he says, "What did Jesus say?" He said, "Feed my sheep." "I'm not sure I heard it good enough." Feed my sheep. Jesus wanted to make sure he got the identity that he was no longer that one that denied. He was the one that God would use to feed. The woman at the well could have gotten stuck in her immoral ways, but Jesus called her forgiven. In fact, if you know that story, you know she went back to her village, bragged about what this encounter with Jesus, and they got so excited about possibly could that be the Messiah that they went and found on their own. This woman was no longer having the identity of being immoral. She had the identity of one that was forgiven. Moses could have gotten stuck as a shepherd, but God called him a deliverer. Sometimes it takes us a while to understand and to embrace what God calls us, which is ironic because He loves us. The world hates us, and we are fast to believe what they say about us. Where are you getting your identity? Listen to Paul's words about Jesus' ability. If you doubt that Jesus can really transform you, listen to this. Ephesians 3:20 and 21. "Now to Him who is able to carry out His purpose and do super abundantly more than we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond your greatest prayers, hopes, or dreams, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout generations, forever and ever." Maybe you're sitting here thinking, "God could never use me. God could never do anything like that in my life." And we remind ourselves what those people said about us: that we'll never succeed, that you'll always be one that messes up, that you'll never get ahead, That you everything that the world has to offer, we have been done, it's been done to us, and it has been spoken over us. But we have an identity in Christ. And it's not just words. He can do super abundantly more than we can even ask or even think. Infinitely beyond our greatest prayers and hopes and dreams because of His power. If you're tired of the same old story, turn some pages. Don't keep reading that old chapter. Don't keep thinking about what so-and-so said to you. Don't keep thinking about how horrible someone has treated you. The more you dwell upon those things, the more that becomes your identity. And guess what? You start to believe it. Who is it? Is it Pigpen in the Peanuts? It's Eeyore I'm thinking about. Eeyore. He could never get anything right. Everything was bad for Eeyore, the donkey. Oh, it's going to happen to me. Oh, nothing's good ever going to happen. And it's easy to look at that and find it humorous. But how many of us have allowed what has happened to us or said about us form and fashion us, and it's changed how we even think our identity is? See, the sky is the limit with God. It really is. There's no limits in what God can do. And God wants to do greater things in your life than you've ever envisioned. And if you're tired of the same old story, turn some pages. Keep the first things first and seek God's kingdom for this year. Let go of your past and let God do something new in Him this year. Allow Him to erase what you've held on to. Some of you have had things over and over and over said to you, and you believe them and you don't think anything could ever change. Let me encourage you to turn some pages. Don't stay in that chapter. If you stay in that chapter, you're never going to be as fruitful as God wants you to be. Not because God's not strong, it's because you're not ready for what He has for you. He says He wants to pour into us as new wineskins so that everything is preserved. We carry around His goodness, the wine, and it doesn't make us burst. We're ready for it. We expand with it. If you're tired of the same old story, turn some pages. If you're tired of the way things are going, do something different. That's the definition of insanity. Doing the same thing and expecting different results. It's just not going to happen. You may find a little bit of movement here and there, but bottom line is, if you keep doing the same thing, nothing much is going to change for you. And this whole concept of turning the page is a visual. That we don't have to stay in that chapter. There's something new. And God wrote this, His word is very, very old. And He said, I've got something new for you. And that is still true today. He's got something new for you. And He wants your life to be able to expand with this newness. You say, well, I can't handle it. Well, you're right. In your own strength, you can't. But we are not limited to our own strength. We have the power of the Holy Spirit inside of us. And that is the best power and the most effective power and the strongest power of anything. God's words create. And when He says He's going to do something new, He'll do that if you're expecting Him to do it. If you are like Eeyore and you don't think anything good could ever come to you, you'll probably miss it. But God's word says there's new blessings and new mercies every day. How many times do we miss them because we're stuck in the old chapter? How many times do we miss the new thing that God has for us because we just can't contain it? Maybe you can't see yourself doing what you feel like God says to do. Well, wake up. He's not using your strength anyway. He just wants to move you into that. He wants to move you from the place you're in, whatever chapter you're in. If you're serious with God, He wants to take you into things that are higher. He wants to move you from the ordinary, the natural, to the extraordinary. This morning as I was praying, I felt like the Lord just shared a couple things with me. Let me see if I can read my chicken scratch. I don't know who this is for. Today is going to be a great day. No matter what might be different in the day, don't trust in the familiar. Trust me. That's what God wanted to say. Do not trust in the natural. Trust Him. Do not trust in comfort. Trust Him. There's a new excitement available for you in the things of God. And God wants to pour that into you so that that becomes part of you. And I know this is the time of year where everybody's trying to lose weight from the holidays, but God wants to expand you. And don't take that in a weight thing. He wants to expand what He's doing in your life. He wants to take the ordinary that's already there, and He wants to put a multiplier on it. He wants to do that in your life. So if you're tired of the same old story, turn some pages. Make sure that God is number one, that you're consulting God first. You're not going to Google, you're not going to your favorite person, you're not going to anyone but God first. And when we seek Him, we will find Him. When we seek Him, it levels and actually quiets the other voices that are in our life that are not of Him. If you're worried about the voices, don't say that too loud. They might come get you in a white coat. But if you're worried about those influences, seek first His kingdom. If things aren't going good for you, seek first His kingdom. If your life is a wreck, seek first His kingdom. If you find that you are being defined by those around you, what your boss is saying, or what your co-workers are saying, or what others have said, if you find that you've allowed that to cause you to become that person, turn some pages. Find your identity in Christ, because that is your identity. Our identity is in Christ. And He has not, He has grafted us into the body. When we listen to outside, when we let outside direct us and form us and fashion us, guess what? God's not doing it. We'll seek first His kingdom, and we're going to put our past behind us. We're going to rebuke those words that are spoken over our life that have caused us to think less of God's creation in you. And you have to take a stand. You really do. You have to say, no more will I listen to that. No more will I play that again over and over in my mind. Listen, it probably took me longer to nullify those words from my previous employer than I actually remember. But it was a constant thing. God, that can't be me. That guy can't be right. Listen, whatever the world has told you, the world is fallible. Our God is infallible. Our God talks with us and He walks with us. Our God is our strong tower. Our God is one that will be our vindicator. Our God is the one that will take our problems and wipe them out. And no longer will you be known as the one that employer might have said, you will never make anything of your life ever again. Maybe you are known for that, but you can turn the page. You can allow God to give you the identity that He has for you. You can allow God to take those words and nullify them. See, God's words are stronger and will fight any word that the world says to you. God wants His people to be formed and fashioned by Him. If you thought about the potter and the potter's wheel, there's a lump of clay that you'd get in you, and they would throw it onto the wheel, and it would land. And the one that was forming, the potter, knew what that lump was going to become all along. And he worked with it and worked with it and worked with it until it became that. There are times when the clay would have some hard knots in it, maybe rocks in it. That potter would, the pressure of his hands would cause those hard things to come to the surface, and he would pluck them out. If the clay had feelings, it probably would hurt. There are things that we have adopted in our life as our identities that maybe the world has put on us. And we've owned it so long, it is set in there. But God wants to. He's putting pressure on you today because he wants to get that rock out of there. And he knows exactly why he created you. He knows exactly why he created me. And every bit of pressure, every bit of movement, every bit of forming and cutting and fashioning, all that is to get me to that place, to get you to that place that shows what he created. The sad part is that many times we fight against the pressure that we're feeling. We'd rather believe so-and-so what they said about us because we like them, or because that's what the culture said is right. It is so important to know God's word, because if you don't know God's word, you won't know what's right and wrong. Because in this world, everything is right or wrong. Everything's right. If it's right for you, it's the craziest thing I ever heard in my life. If it's right for you, I'm glad I wasn't raised that way. I wouldn't know the difference in right and wrong. But if you don't know God's word, you don't know how to combat those things. The moment the enemy reminds me that I was going to be a failure because I resigned that job and I would never make anything of my life again, I remember, no, wait a minute. God said, I'm going to be the first and not the last. God said, he forgives and he remembers my sin no more. God said, he is going to cause his light to shine upon me. Those are not descriptive terms of a failure. We shouldn't care what everybody else says about us. We should care what God says. And what he says is more powerful than anything you'll ever, ever face in your life. So if you're tired of the same old story, turn some pages. Let's put God first. And let's forget about our past. Amen? Amen. Let's pray.